now Warsaw. WRSW 1480 AM and W259 BJ 99.7 FM, Warsaw, Indiana.
This is the lesson of Sleepy Boy.
Here comes Chuck.
Man, he looks terrible.
I lost my head.
What happened?
I was tired and not thinking clearly when I took out my auto loan.
Man, you gotta be careful or you're gonna pay too much. There's interest rates you gotta
I know!
Man, y'all need to chill out! We got the dogs barking and everything.
Well, he needs to get his head back.
He needs R&B Car Company.
RBCarCompany.com.
Hey, what's up, Chuck?
This is Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM, 1480 AM, online at newsnowwarsaw.com and at the News Now Warsaw app. Here's your host for Tiger Talk, the radio voice of Tiger Sports, Roger Grossman.
Good morning. If you were listening last night, you heard a thrilling ending to the boys' basketball game. They win on the road at Homestead, 62-60 at the buzzer. We'll play the highlight for you and then talk to Coach Moore about that in just a little bit. Some of the other boys' scores, Bremen beat Glenn 59-39. Columbia City beat Canterbury 61-45. Concord down to Elkhart 74-64. It was Culver over Lakeland Christian 43-32. Elkhart Christian beat Hamilton 60-33. Fairfield beat Prairie Heights 67-42. Fort Wayne South beat Fort Wayne Snyder 56-39. The boys team will play Snyder at Grace next Saturday night. Jimtown beat LaVille 50-34. LaPorte beat Plymouth 62-54. Maconaqua beat North Miami 76-51. Manchester beat Wawasee 65-44. Northridge beat Culver Academy 59-30. Northwood topped Triton 62-25. Rochester downed Winnemac 55-44. It was Southwood over Wabash 46-28. Tippecanoe Valley beat Knox 68-21. It was West Central over Argus, 87-64, and Westview beat Cherubusco, 52-41. Girls basketball, Marquette Catholic beat Mishawaka, 59-18. Northwood beat Concord in conference play, 40-26. And South Bend, Washington beat Penn, 52-50. That was a 10-point game with about 2 minutes to go, and Washington saw Penn come roaring back at the end, but Washington held them off. A look at the girls conference standings. After play last night, Warsaw and Wawasee are 1-0. Northwood is 1-1. Northridge, Plymouth, Goshen, and Mishawaka all yet to play their first conference game, and Concord is 0-2. Lenny Krebs is live in studio. We're talking girls basketball when we come back here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Our area lakes might be cold and ice could be forming, but now is the time to dream ahead to next year for a great time on the water with help from Splendor Boats. If this past summer you thought about taking your family's summer to the next level, make plans now to see the experts at Splendor. You can buy your pontoon, custom-built catamaran, or boat accessories at Warsaw's only marina on East Winona Avenue, or visit the original Splendor Boats location on State Road 15 in Silver Lake and online at SplendorBoatsWarsaw.com. Splendor Boats, thanks you for a great year and looks forward to serving you even better in the years ahead.
Your local auto owner's insurance agency is the W.R. Hall Insurance Group. Hi, this is Mike Hall. My family's 100 plus years in business are more than just a milestone. We've been building trust for over a century by serving the needs of local clients to the best of our abilities. We offer the best quality service that comes with the experience and industry insight by providing home, auto, business, farm, and life insurance. Let us at W.R. Hall Insurance Group find out if auto owner's insurance makes sense for you. Simple, human sense.
Crossroads Bank checking accounts have the bells and whistles you've come to expect. Free debit card with free access to MoneyPass network, free mobile banking with mobile deposit, free e-statements, free bill pay, and more. Check it out at crossroadsbanking.com. Crossroads Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Where your bank and your life meet, Crossroads Bank.
Bad wreck, oh what you gonna do, oh what you gonna do, call the boys in blue, car stalls won't start, oh what you gonna do, oh what you gonna do, call the boys in blue, wreck in any state and need the best rates, take the next step, call Wrecker Dinep, go with the guys who got the best tools, if you get in a wreck, they'll come and get you, bad wreck, oh what you gonna do, call Wrecker Dinep to come get you,
remember when you get in a wreck,
call Wrecker Dinep.
You're listening to Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. Let's talk girls basketball with head coach Lenny Cripps.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's been a strange schedule for you here at the beginning of the season. You had several games those first 2 weeks, bang, 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 and then all of a sudden it's really thinned out, and you don't have as many games. You played on Tuesday at Northwood after playing on Saturday, and now you have a whole 8 days in between games. It's kind of strange, isn't it?
No, we had those 8 games at the beginning of the year in a short period of time, and you know, you and I talked after the Penn game, and there seemed to be such a relief after Penn. And the more I think about it, the more I think it was probably just a lot of fatigue. Playing at a high level for 8 games and doing what we did during those 8 games, I think they were just tired. I think the coaches were tired. We took a small break there before we went Tuesday to Tuesday from Penn to Northwood. We had a week off as far as games go in that sense. Now we've got another week off. So it was just a good beginning. Now we're kind of in that middle stretch where we're going to take some time. We need some time to get better. If you recall, last year this was our Westfield-Ben Davis double weekend. We would have been in Indy for 2 games. We just felt like we needed a little bit of a break in the season to get better. You know, when you start playing games, it's hard to find practice time to get on the floor and get better. And, you know, that's what we have right now. We have some time just to get better.
Yeah, typical coach. Always glad to have practice time. Girls hate that, right?
They would rather play games. You ask them, hey, can we play a game Tuesday? Can we play a game Thursday? Play a game Saturday? They'd be up for it. As coaches, we're worried about how do we get better? When do we find time to get better? And, you know, that's what we have right now. At the same time, we have some rest time. Not practicing today. We're taking a weekend off. But how often does that happen during the course of a season? A good opportunity for our kids to catch their breath before we have a 2-week sprint to get to Christmas, a little bit of time off at Christmas, and then that race really begins at the beginning of January. So this is just a nice opportunity for our kids to have a weekend. We were actually going to practice Friday morning, yesterday morning, and then they would have a long weekend. But with the weather and not knowing what the roads were going to be like, we went after school yesterday. But still, for the girls to have a weekend off, that's rare. And I think the girls were excited about the fact that they didn't have practice.
Take us through Tuesday's game, a 57-30 win at Northwood against the Panthers in the Pit. Obviously, you jumped out to a big start. It was 22-11 at the quarter, and your defense was once again a big part of that.
You know, we knew going into the Pit, Coach Burkhart was going to have his kids confident. He had them believing right from the beginning. They hit the first couple baskets, jumped out to a lead before we kind of settled in. A lot of things happening prior to that game. A couple kids in a car wreck, kind of shaken up. A lot happening with emotions in that sense. Brooke Winchester is puking prior to the game. So a lot of things happening that really made us exhibit and demonstrate some mental toughness. And I'm proud of the kids for that. Last year, no way we do that. I tell the kids all the time, physical toughness tells you what you can do. Mental toughness tells you if you're going to do it. And we exhibited some mental toughness. But we fell behind early, jumped out, got a 20-11 lead after the first quarter. Abby Peterson came in, hit a shot right at the buzzer. I think that was kind of the nail in the coffin at that point, because I think Northwood realized how hard they had worked in that first quarter, and they were still down 9 at that point in time. And so from there, defensively, we really picked up the pressure, made them handle the basketball, got a couple of turnovers, a couple of easy baskets. We exhibited a lot of energy. We are not in shape like last year's team when it comes to full court pressing, so we really try to limit when we do that. We kind of pick our battles a little bit in that sense, but we were able to continue to pressure them with a 1-3-1, with a full court press, making them think. Just a great game for our kids. Got a lot of kids playing time, got them some experience on the road in a tough place to play. Ended up with a great win. Brooke Winchester managed to not throw up during the course of the game, but after the game, she was ready to do that again. And, you know, If you saw her during that game, during the timeout, she had tears in her eyes as she's trying to hold back during timeouts and just not throw up during the course of the game. And the toughness that kid exhibited just speaks volumes from where she was her freshman year. Just proud of the kids. Northwood is that one team that's at tweener team right there in the conference that they can pick anybody off. And so to go into their place and come out with a win, that was a big win for us.
I was thinking after the Penn game on the drive home, when you have an hour to drive home, you have a lot of time to think about stuff. And I was thinking about the fact that you weren't pressing and trapping as hard and as long as you had at the beginning of last season. And I was thinking it was kind of like parents yelling at their kids. Eventually, your kids quit listening to you until you yell louder and longer, and it just escalates. And the same thing with your press. The girls were getting tired faster, and it made them less efficient. And doing this now, when they press and trap, the other team's in trouble.
You know, the one thing about last year is we just got you with our conditioning. A lot of times we were just going to play harder, longer. And when you only have to prepare for a full court press, it eventually becomes easier because you learn how to navigate it. Right now, we are fatiguing you more mentally because you don't know if we're going to be in a 1-3-1 trap. You don't know if we're going to be set in a zone. You don't know if we're going to be in man. You don't know if we're going to pick you up full court. And so I think for us, the mental fatigue is more of what we're after this year with some of our opponents, making them think the game and not know what we're in. You know, I can show you multiple clips on film where it appears we're in a 1-3-1, but we're actually in a 1-1-3 zone. And they're sitting in their 1-3-1 offense, making it very easy for us to defend. That's the type of thing we want to do. I would use a baseball illustration. If you throw 100 miles an hour all the time, eventually a batter is going to time that pitch and get a hold of it. But when you come back with an 87-mile-an-hour curveball, that 100 heater seems a little bit faster than what it actually is. And that's what we're trying to do this year. We're trying to mix up defenses to make you think and make you prepare for a little bit more than what you have to prepare for. And when you have a team that you've had together for 3 years now, many of those things are already in place. It's just a matter of adding what we want to add. And, you know, the girls have done a great job of picking up what we want to add.
From your offensive standpoint, a lot of teams have thrown a lot of different defenses at you. 9 games, pretty much, you've seen almost everything. And yet your girls have figured out ways to navigate that. And that also is a sign of a change from last year.
You know, our kids have, between high school season and AAU season, they've seen pretty much everything you can see. You know, I'm anticipating we're going to see a triangle into a box and one against Fort Wayne Carroll coming up. I'm watching them play. We haven't played it yet this year, but our kids can figure it out, partly because they're skilled and they can put the basketball in the hole. They make everything look better when that ball goes in the hole. I mean, and part of that goes back to our defensive intensity, our defensive pressure, and getting the ball and going before you have a chance to get set up. And there's only so many things you can do when you're playing from behind. And that becomes our goal, is to try to get the ball, push it up, get early shots, get a lead, because that really limits what you can do. You have to play our pace and come after us a little bit when you're playing from behind, and that favors us. That's the pace we want. If you got a lead on us and you decided to set in a triangle and two, maybe that's a challenge we need yet. And, you know, the one mistake I feel like we often make as coaches is we overthink, oh, it's a triangle and two, and you try to put something special in. And as soon as you start putting something special in, the girls start thinking too much, and now they're not shooting a normal shot. And, you know, if somebody throws that at defense at us, we're going to run our stuff. We're going to run our man sets. We're going to run our man offense. We're going to run our zone offense. We feel like we have enough people that can knock down shots that you're not going to get away with that. Eventually, we're going to find a weakness in it, and the girls do a great job of that.
Well, eventually, and this may come across as completely arrogant, but I'll take my chances on it. If you go triangle and two against your girls, you could keep Jocelyn and Brooke Zarbin out at midcourt, and I'll take your three against their three any day of the week in that setting. They may do that a few possessions, but they would get out of that pretty quick.
You know, you think about who would you do that against. You know, you're saying Jocelyn and Brooke, and I say, okay, fine. I'm going to run Abby Peterson off the bench and stick her in a corner and penetrate with Alex Neely and put Brooke Winchester down lower on a wing. You look at Abby Peterson, Lex Neely, and Brooke Winchester. All three of them can score. And so as we were watching Carol Homestead last night, watching that defense, you know, we're starting to brainstorm who would they triangle into. You know, obviously Zartman's one. If you're going to triangle into us and you don't triangle into Zartman, we need to have a conversation because you're obviously not playing a defense I think is going to be, you know, effective. When you got Zartman shooting the way she is right now. But I think we have enough weapons and we just run our offense. We're going to run our stuff. We don't need to do anything special. And once again, part of how we fight that is by picking up our defensive pressure and going, we're going to force you to handle the ball and we're going to fatigue you because we still have that ability to pick you up 90 feet and fatigue you and not make you want to chase. And, you know, Brooke Zartman's got a motor. If you want to chase Brooke Zartman, good luck. The kid's got a motor. She won't stop moving. She'll just keep cutting. So they have navigated a lot of defenses, and that's a tribute to them. You've probably seen it. I walk over and sit down beside Coach Spike a lot more during a game because I know these kids are going to figure things out, and I just have to trust that they are.
We haven't seen you in a lot of situations because of the scores of the games. Your girls have dominated most of the games so far, the Valpro game being one of the exceptions, the first half of the Norwell game being one of the other exceptions. You haven't been in a situation where you've had to call timeout. Is this the kind of group where they're struggling a little bit or you're in a tight situation toward the end of a game that you might let them figure it out on their own and not take a timeout?
No, a perfect situation of that, and I feel like we learned from it, was going into the last possession at Valpo. Could we have called a timeout at the very end? We're tied. Barnes had just stolen the basketball, tied it up. We're taking it out and running. In my mind, that's a situation where we have an advantage. Your defense is disorganized. We have an awful lot of playmakers who can create and hit shots. As soon as I call a timeout, you get to set your defense. You get to reorganize. And now I have to try to figure out what you're in. Those are the situations we want our kids to play through. There are times we're purposely not going to take a timeout because we want to see what they're going to do and we want them to learn. Because to me, that game was an opportunity to create a situation when I don't have a timeout. You know, we have practiced more special situations this year than I probably practiced in the last 8 years at Warsaw. In practice, we're putting them in situations. We're down two. Opponent is shooting a free throw. Play it. 5 seconds. Play it. No timeouts. And they get into things, and they've talked it out, but they've been around enough to know, hey, we're in Valpo. As soon as the ball goes in, we're in Valpo, and they know who's supposed to take it out. They know where they're supposed to go. We're trying to put those kids in those situations every single day so that they know what to do. Do I trust them? Absolutely.
This is a really interesting stretch that you have coming up. I call it the rivalry stretch because you have Carroll, who in a time 20 years ago, the Carroll-Warsaw games were like the Warsaw-Northridge games are now, white-knuckled right down to the end. Then you have Plymouth in a conference game. You have Columbia City, which has always been a big rivalry, and they're really good right now, and so are your kids. And Wawasee, all before Christmas. That's a really exciting stretch of games.
No, it's a stretch that could we stumble? Yeah, we could. And at some point, I don't mean this in a negative way. I hope we do stumble because I want to see how we get back up. We stumbled a little bit against Valpo, but we haven't completely fallen yet. And I want to see how we're going to get back up after we fall before we get to sectional. You know, any coach wants to know how a team's going to respond to that adversity. Carroll is going to create that first opportunity for us. They like to play somewhat of a fast game. They've got a lot of shooters. They've got a big and Nolly George. They're going to create a challenge for us. Jersey Paul will shoot from half court if you let her. A situation. Plymouth and Wawasee, obviously two conference games that they're rivals. They're Plymouth, Warsaw rival. Wawasee, Warsaw, they want to come beat Warsaw. The good news for us, those are on our home court. I think the one really big challenge is going to Columbia City. How are we going to respond when we go to Columbia City? That's going to be a sectional type atmosphere. I want to see how we respond when that pressure really ramps up.
Angela is with you today, and I will save her from having to talk today, but I would like for you to talk about her and what she is like as a coach's wife to you.
You know, it takes a special person to be a coach's wife, because you think about our season starts in August. People say, well, your season starts in October. No, our season starts in August. And workouts in August, September. Official practice starts in October. We go October, November, December, January, possibly into February. And then you've got March, where March, for many coaches, at least in the girls' game, if you're not playing, is a recovery month where you're just trying to get your bearings again. And then you hit April, where you go back to workouts. You go April, May. June is now here. You have summer workouts. You have camps. Now you're in July. This game and coaching this game has become a year-round. And there are times she's often just a single parent, in a sense of coaches aren't always around. And that's hard. You know, she's handling everything going on at home, handling the kids, probably keeping anything from me that she doesn't think I need to know until I need to know it. It's hard. And on top of that, you know, what's it like to sit in the stands and hear people talk about your spouse and maybe the idiot they think he is at the moment? What's it like to sit up there and hear them talk about the kids or the decisions? That's a tough situation. And, you know, we often say coaches have to have thick skin, but I think coaches' spouses have to have awful thick skin to come to a game and sit and hear some of that. And I don't think people understand how personal they talk about situations when they're sitting up there in the stands. And that makes it difficult. There was a stretch for a while that she didn't even want to come to a game just because of that type of thing. You know, so it takes a special person. We're actually not practicing today. So she came with me, and we're actually headed to get some Christmas shopping done that's normally done, you know, 4 days before Christmas just because that's the first break we have. But, you know, we have a weekend, and we're going to be intentional about taking this weekend and just spending some time together before we hit this next 2 weeks. And then we get into Christmas. So we're excited about the weekend we have.
Well, it should go without saying, you are welcome anytime. You are the rose between the two thorns in this room right now. So thank you, and we love you guys. And enjoy your weekend off, and we will see you on Wednesday at the Tiger Den.
Yep, thank you.
Lenny Krebs of the Warsaw Lady Tigers, who will be in action on Wednesday at home against Carroll. That is a 6 o'clock JV start, airtime 7:10 on News Now Warsaw. Matt Moore is recorded this morning after last night's big win at Homestead. We will play that back for you coming up next here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Traveling, double dribble, personal foul, all bad things in basketball. Spotty dishes, rust stains, dry skin, and hair, all bad things when it comes to your water. Rab Water Systems All-Star Team can help eliminate your water penalties. Home of the non-electric Kinetico, which provides clean, clear water 24/7 without electricity. Call or visit rabwater.com to fix your water.
Basketball is a game where your team could play man defense, zone defense, motion offense, press. You could focus on shooting threes or scoring in the post. Whatever strategy you use, in order to win the game, your team needs a head coach with an effective game plan. We at Alderfer Bergen can help you develop and implement a financial game plan for your family's future.
Let Alderfer Bergen be the head coach of your financial planning team. Alderfer Bergen & Company, 122 West Market Street, Warsaw, and online at alderferbergen.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Welcome to the spa, Mrs. Williamson. Ready for your manicure?
And your beauty treatment?
And your massage?
Mommy, wake up!
Honey, did you get my shirts from the dry cleaners?
Oh, I knew I was dreaming.
Escape to the spa every day in your own bathroom with an elegant glass shower and tub enclosure designed by the specialists at Glass Doctor, all for less than you might think. Visit glassdoctor.com today to receive a free copy of our design and installation guide.
When you need new furniture, head to Brouwer's Furniture and Flooring in Warsaw. Brouwer's huge showroom features beautiful sofas, love seats, sectionals, and recliners that will bring a whole new level of comfort and style to your home. Not sleeping well? Check out the full line of premium mattresses at Brouwer's and add an adjustable base for the ultimate great night's sleep. Hurry in today to 3333 East Center Street in Warsaw. Brouwer's Furniture and Flooring. It's the name to know and the place to go.
Kuhlman shoots it and hits this one. 6 seconds left. Gould at midcourt. 4 seconds. Three. Downcourt. Berger catches, shoots, and banks it in! It's good! At the buzzer! Berger brings it home! Warsaw wins 62-60 in overtime!
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company in Warsaw, on News Now Warsaw, continues as Roger is joined by boys basketball coach Matt Moore.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
What a great win for your kids last night. Talk us through the end of the game there. They make a free throw that ties the game. You've got 6 seconds left. You had a timeout, and you did not use it. Explain why.
So in the end of regulation, I think in particular we had the timeout. So they hit the three, and we had a timeout left. But we had also talked about in the huddle that if we had 4 to 5 seconds, I felt like we could get the ball in pretty quick. They happened to hit a really tough shot. We made the decision not to foul. We just said we're going to stay home. We're going to be physical. If they call a foul, they call a foul. But they're going to have to make a tough shot, and they did in regulation. So in that situation with a timeout, I felt like our guys were equipped to get it in and get it up the floor. And Luke Bricker took it out quickly, got it to Maiden. They transitioned well in regulation. In the overtime, it was kind of the same thing. Like once he missed the first free throw, I knew at worst we were going to tie. And so at that point, get the ball in, we get guys down the floor, and we just want to do the best of passing the ball ahead. I think a lot of times the mistake is made by the ball handler to take it himself. And you look back at games in history, whether it's Villanova winning the national championship or IU beating Kentucky or, you know, even us at Goshen a few years ago, it's typically not the ball handler that gets the shot. He's the one that makes the play for somebody else. So a lot of belief in our guys, and those are situations, fortunately, over the last 3 years we've talked about a lot. We haven't had a lot of times to rep those, but last night was one where it worked out well.
And having been on the dribbling end of that, I know it's 40 years ago, but having been on that end of it, when you're dribbling from one side of the court to the other, it's like a football quarterback limiting what he can see in front of him. Carson finds a guy who's actually almost at a 90-degree angle to his left, which is Berger, 45, 50 feet down the floor to make that shot. That was an incredible pass.
It was, and just it's, you know, Carson made there were so many big plays, Roger, in the game last night, and you could mark, you know, Parker Justice's three coming in off the bench. You know, Robbie hits a three down two to put us up one. Brant makes clutch free throws, just pockets of this and that. But Carson's last two passes on the inbounds to Luke and then the pass to Maiden, like there's an awareness there that not a lot of guys have in those moments, just because the pressure in the moment is so big, and so the desire to have to for a lot of players, I think, gets overwhelming. And so the pass he makes, it's not clean, and Maiden does a great job of catching it. And I don't know if he called bank, but it looked about as perfect as it could have if you were intending to bank it. So we're going to say that he did, and we're going to book it that way.
I have no problem with that whatsoever. However, we saw several replays, people on their phones after the game was over. That's an incredible angle to have that skip off the glass. I mean, that is a, if that's an inch on either side, it doesn't go in.
Yeah. Well, I think too, if you watch him, he does a great job of gathering the ball and kind of we have a shooting camp. We talk about 1-2 steps. So he bends down to catch the ball and gather himself, and he right left steps. He stays on balance, and then as he lets it go, his momentum takes him, off the floor. He actually falls down. It reminded me a little bit of Keith Smart in 87 with the Hoosiers when they beat Syracuse. But the ball went so high, if there's a view from the baseline that somebody had took, and it leaves the camera angle completely as it grazes the glass and the window and it goes in. And again, like, that's just a poised shot for a kid who's played two really good basketball games back-to-back. Mighton's had two fantastic outings, and that's just the toughness that he's had to be able to kind of come back this year after some ups and downs last year. And it's always fun to have a game winner. Not a lot of guys get a chance to make one, but when you do, I had one at Manchester in high school my junior year. Those are memorable moments. I'm happy for Mighton.
You mentioned Parker Justice, and I think that's a conversation we need to have today, too. Here's a kid who, through his time as a high school basketball player, has really struggled to find his niche. He's a shooter. We all know he can shoot. He has grown taller. He has grown more muscular. And he's still trying to find that place where he fits in and gives you something. And what a shot for him to make last night in a big moment.
Yeah, Parker's honestly one of my favorites. He is a gym rat. He loves basketball. If he wants the opportunity to play at the next level, I think there's something there for him, because I think his best basketball is going to be ahead. He's in the gym all the time, and I think that's something that, like, I have confidence in those guys, in Reed and in Parker. Those guys have just invested time, and so the challenging part, and what I tried to explain to all the guys the other day is, I at the parent meeting, I talked to our parents, and I, in envelopes, I put a list of 37 different ingredients, and each ingredient had a definition, and I had all the parents take them out of their envelopes and look, and I essentially said, like, all these ingredients matter. They're all important, but it's how we mix them and how we use them that makes what we're doing special. So even though you really love salt and that's your ingredient, it doesn't replace sugar when we need sugar, because the cookies ain't going to turn out the same. And I felt like that illustration for guys like Parker are very valuable, because he is a huge part of Tiger basketball. No less than a Luke Bricker, who guys know, right? But Parker's invested time, and there are pockets where we're going to have to use him. And last night in that spot, we called a play for him, because that's what he does. He can hit shots. And so I see many opportunities this year in pockets for some of those guys to have big moments. And I hope this weekend we can still give those guys those chances.
It may be weird to say. It is kind of weird for me to say. And it may be weird to hear. But it was good for Finlayson and Bricker to see the ball go in last night, because they didn't have the best games on Tuesday against Columbia City. But when their moments came last night, they were ready for them.
And it's such a hard thing to manufacture sometimes, because you got to understand that other teams are trying to take those two out of it, right? They're trying to minimize catches. And I thought both Columbia City and Homestead, who are both well-coached, are very physical. They're very aware of where those guys are. So we just did not get a lot of easy basket catches last night, and I felt like at times, we start the second half, and our conversation was, we got to get Robbie an easy basket. How can we do that? And so we post him on the left block on a back cut. He turns, catches, scores, it goes in, and then all of a sudden, some of those, you see one go, and then you start having some confidence. And that's where I felt like Brant's ability and toughness to get to the free throw line. If you're not shooting the ball well sometimes, just even getting to the free throw line and making that go through, it makes a difference. And so Luke makes tough shots, and he spends a lot of time at his game to earn those. And that's the part where those two, if we have all those three guys, four guys on the same page on the same night, we're going to be a tough out, and we've been able to win games where not everybody has been on. And that's a characteristic that we've really enjoyed having this year.
I like the fact that you've got kids that have played together for several years, and it showed up last night in a play, on an inbounds play in the baseline that we, again, talked about after the game last night. Right, Luke Bricker standing on the right block. Carson Gould's throwing it in from the left baseline. And Luke is like a poker player. He's just standing there. He's not moving his arms. And here comes the ball to him, And the defender is face guarding Luke and has no idea that it's coming. Explain how that is. Is that something that you call, or is that something that they just do?
Honestly, I think a lot of it is just guys that watch basketball. And you'd be surprised that, you know, growing up, I remember watching every IU game with my dad and my brothers. I mean, we watched them all. We watched the whole thing in its entirety. We listened to Don Fisher, just like people listen to Roger Grossman. And that's what you did. And now games are watched in highlights. And so a feel for the game is lost because I don't think guys watch the game in its entirety. And I think that was a moment. We had a play. It was, you know, it's kind of a run pass option. Like, Luke has some choices, but ultimately, as they leave the huddle, I think Carson and Luke are just kind of talking like, okay, like, I've got a smaller guy. And it almost works against you because in reality, like, he's told in the huddle, the kid that's guarding Luke, like, don't let him catch it. So he's lowering himself in a stance against a 6'4 guy under the basket, which honestly puts him at a disadvantage. And so as Carson sees that, Luke kind of nods and it just gets in his hands, throws it, shoots it, and the kid didn't have any idea what went on. And it's unfortunate for them, but it's just a heady play by Carson because that wasn't the call. But again, that's the right play to make, and that's what you want your guys to be able to do.
Talk about the defensive end. You give up 60, obviously 51 of that is in regulation. And they've got a guy that just absolutely goes off. Talk about your defensive effort and how you felt about how your team played at that end.
You know, I think the fun thing about coaching basketball in particular with this group is there's a lot that you get to learn as you go through the experience. And I said this earlier with you, and I've said it with other people. Like, we're not what we were last year, and we can't try to be that. But at the same time, I think the one thing that a lot of people get lost in is emotion and the emotion of outcome. Here's the reality. Like, people are going to look at our zone, and I've already had people talk to me about, like, you can't be playing zone. You're giving up this, this, and this. Well, our points per possession in two games when we play zone is 0.71. Like, that is fantastic. Now, wow. The emotion of a guy making a three – for anybody watching, I think sometimes can be, you know, the overreaction, oh, we got to get out of it. But on the same token, if you were in man-to-man defense and you give up that same three, you don't have that same reaction that you would. And so I think what we've tried to do is we're trying to figure out how we can continue to play some zone and some man so that we get a feel from different coaches, different teams on the areas that we can improve. And when we need to, we're gonna lock down and do what we have to do to get the win. And so I still see us playing the same way we've been this year. I think I like our versatility. Remember, we have two guys joining us next week that I think make both of those significantly better, just with Tristan's anticipation and his length and his toughness, and then Drew's physicality. And so, I think we need to continue to evolve in what we're seeing and how we're communicating and maybe some positioning. But at the same time, you know, I feel like this, we as coaches can have all these great plays. And at the end of that great play that you get the shot, you still have to make the shot, right? And that kid last night, he made them. Going into the game, he was only 1-for-1 on the year through two games. And so you play the odds, and I like that we're playing at a 0.7 points per possession in the zone. We got to do a better job rebounding. And I think as we go, we're going to continue to evolve with kind of which lineups give us the best matchups in those different settings.
I talked to both Drew and Tristan last night before the JV game, and they are antsy. They are remarkably antsy to get out there. And I know that at least one of them did a few things actually on the court this week. Talk about how you've tried to bring them along, and what a unique situation this is for Tiger basketball.
You know, it is, and it's a lot of fun because you really do. Like, Bart and I talk about this a lot. I talk about it with other my coaching friends in the profession of you want guys that want to experience, you know, as much as they can at all levels. And so, you know, a few years ago, I got criticized by some people about saying that I'm not a two-sport guy. We have more multi-sport athletes than any program in the school. Boys basketball does. And we want our guys to have those experiences, to be coached by other people, to to have to play different roles. You know, for all intents and purposes, you know, Drew's the most important player on the football team. His role's going to be a little bit different for us, and I think that is huge in his development as a teammate and the value that he adds. And same with Tristan. And I think both of them add a different unique toughness. Both of them come, you know, Tristan, if I would have gave him Monday to say, hey, you're practicing, he would have been there. I think I wasn't going to let Drew go. I think he needs some time just for the banging that his body takes. But, you know, I think our guys really enjoy those two also, and I think that's a big piece of it. It's always daunting when, you know, your minutes are already maybe minimized and you still know that two guys are going to be entering the picture. But I think that those teammates understand that, you know, they're part of our family and we want them around and they're going to add value and grow the experience for everybody. So we're excited when that opportunity comes next week at Snyder.
One of the things that you have been dealing with your guys, because you have an experienced team, so it's a larger sample size, one of the things that you have been challenging them to is be more aggressive. So talk us through the concept of patience versus being passive.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a masterful way to say that, because it is, you know, Coach Wooden used to say, be quick but don't hurry. And as a young person, that's a really difficult thing to digest. Like, you want to be fast but slow? Like, what do you want? I think the maturity that we're seeking is a balance of, like, I talked a little bit about removing emotion. Like, I think sometimes we can get emotional as we see outcomes, and just living in the process of knowing who you are, knowing what your capabilities are, and then what are you willing to do? And a lot of guys, you know, we have a lot of things that we're capable of. A lot of guys aren't willing to do what they need to get to that place. And I feel like in terms of how we're playing, the experiences that we've had, I think this group in particular has been battle-tested in many ways. And you see guys like Meidenberger and you see Sam Lara, who I think are naturally aggressive. And you don't want to dial that back. I think you want to foster it a little bit. And I've used the illustration before, like some of these guys, you know, can be like fire, and fire is a unique thing because it can either heat the entire building or it can burn it down. And how you harness that and how you use that in the right ways for the right reasons can be a huge benefactor. And so we want to be aggressive. We don't want to sit back and be passive. But if we can remove the emotion from those experiences and be competitive and have competitive greatness, then I think that's what you start to see. And we have really good leadership in place. Like, Carson has done a fantastic job. Reed Nelson's voice has been outstanding. Like, we have a lot of guys that are saying the right things and they're following the right message right now.
I think that some of your guys would have gladly gotten on the bus last night and drove right to Huntington to play the Vikings last night because that's who they are, right? And so tonight you've got to go to Huntington and take on a team that hasn't lost yet, but you'll be the best team that they've played so far.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think it's my favorite arena. I mean, there are a lot of great basketball arenas in Indiana, but if you've never been to Huntington North High School and you don't have anything to do tonight, I would highly recommend driving over and seeing the Tigers. It's a fantastic gym. I know it's the one that we won the regional or the semi-state in years ago with Nick Moore and company. It's just a fantastic venue. And Coach Thompson's kind of putting his stamp on who they are. You know, when he was at Peru, he had some fantastic teams. They guard, they're physical, they're smart. Last year they gave us some trouble. By no means do I think it's going to be a cakewalk and just going in there. And I think that road warrior mentality for us, of it doesn't really matter where we're going to play, we're going to show up, do what we do. That's what we need tonight. We're probably going to platoon a little bit more tonight just from, you know, we've had a lot of guys with big minutes, and so we may platoon three or four guys at a time and just get some rotation minutes for some other guys. But I look for us to be competitive tonight and continue to finish the job this week.
Okay, we'll see you down there.
I appreciate it, Roger. Thank you.
Thank you. Matt Moore, the head coach of the Warsaw Tigers. When we come back, we'll run through the scores and schedules for the other teams at Warsaw here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
Your eyes deserve the best care, and at Reinholt & Talmer Eye Care Associates, that's exactly what we offer. Hi, this is Dr. Mitch Reinholt. From routine eye exams to specialized medical eye care, at our office, we have you covered. Our experienced and caring doctors and staff are here to help. We serve the eye care needs of Kosciuszko County Monday through Friday and select Saturdays by appointment. Visit ReinholtEyeCare.com or stop in to 3301 East Center Street Extension to schedule your appointment today.
Hi, I'm Blake with Flotec Plumbing and Heating. From Goshen, Ligonier, and Warsaw to Columbia City, Fort Wayne, and Wabash, and all points around and in between, we're the top provider of innovative equipment and superb residential and commercial service in the area. Our priority is your comfort and safety, which is why we emphasize fast, friendly customer service at an affordable price. Go with the flow and contact us at Flotec Plumbing and Heating to schedule your next installation, repair, or maintenance appointment today.
Experienced sports fans know how to get ready for a big game. They dress in their favorite team's colors, grab some popcorn and a drink, then find the best place to sit. And there's no better seat for a ball game than a Lazy Boy recliner. Sit back and relax as you listen to the big game on the radio. Stretch out when your team is comfortably in the lead, or rock like crazy when the action is fierce. Either way, you'll appreciate having the best seat in the house. Your Lazy Boy recliner from Reinholt's Town Square Furniture.
Find the best seat in the house at Reinholt's on the Courthouse Square in downtown Warsaw.
Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company, continues with a look at the scores and schedules for all the teams at Warsaw Community High School. It's Tiger Sports Diary on News Now Warsaw.
Let's start with girls wrestling as they continue their inaugural season as an official IHSAA sport. The girls were at the Columbia City two-day invitational last weekend. That was Friday and Saturday during the Thanksgiving weekend. The girls, in a 43-team field, finished ninth. They had six wrestlers advance to the second day of placement matches. Kina Yoder finished third at 125. Mariana Castro was fourth at 155. Paloma Cervantes, in her first year of competing in wrestling, sixth at 110. Emma DeWald was sixth at 130. Natalie Davis was seventh at 135. And Zoe Ortega was eighth at 115 pounds. The ladies then hosted Wawasee on Wednesday in the Tiger Den for senior night. Wawasee got the big swing matches to go their way. They added a couple of forfeits in bad spots, and they took home a 48-21 win. Tigers picked up wins by pin from Kaya Long and Emma DeWald. Kina Yoder earned a win with a tech fall, and Christina Kalembi won by major decision. Warsaw's dual record falls to 1-2. The boys competed at the Wawasee Duels, Super Duels last weekend. Warsaw lost to North Miami 60-19. They beat South Bend, Washington 75-0. They beat Fort Wayne Southside 40-37. They lost to Wawasee in a match that counts toward the conference 54-29, and then they beat Fairfield 42-41 to go 3-2 on the day. Casey Smith was 5-0. He wrestled in both 132 and 138. Gabe Veit was 4-1 on the day at both 126 and 132. Andrew Hankins at 113 and Ethan Crawford at 106 also went 4-1. The Tigers were in conference action on Thursday night and took a road trip to Goshen and brought home a victory 38-30. Starting at 113, Warsaw picked up a win by forfeit from Andrew Hankins. Tigers were up 6-0 there. Goshen came right back with a pin at 120 to even things up. Gabe Veit picked up a pin at 126 to put Warsaw back in the lead 12-6. Casey Smith was just short of bonus points in his impressive win by decision at 132. At 138, Alex Viejo got a leg takedown to earn a major decision and put the Tigers in the lead at 19-6. Warsaw strung together, Goshen strung together wins at 140, 150, and 157 to keep things close. Warsaw at that point was leading 19-18. They get another bonus point from Danny Moon at 165 and go up 23-18. A couple of wins for Goshen at 175 and 190 put the hosts in front by seven heading into the final matches. Freshman at 215, Lucas Kimball stepped up in his first varsity match to pick up a big win for the Tigers. Beckham Boylan followed suit at 285 with a pin. That put Warsaw up 35-30 with one match to go. In the final bout, Ethan Crawford at 106 wrapped up an early takedown and held on for a gritty win by decision to clinch the duel for the Tigers. The Farsi team, 4-2, 1-1 in the conference. In the JV matches, Jesus Velasquez, also Carter Coffin, and Brandon Mejia were all winners for the Tigers. The swim team had two meets since we talked last. The swim team took on Wawasee last Saturday. In the girls 200, the team of Brooke Shimasaki, Anna Stevens, Sydney McCammon, and Matilda Granger came in second. The boys team of Griffin Brown, Josh Warner, Michael Webster, and Diego Manwaring were first with a time of 143.13. In the 200 free, Gibson Claxton was second. In the boys 200 free, Griffin Brown was second. In the girls 200 IM, Sydney McCammon was second, and Haley Strange was third. In the boys 200 IM, Kaylin Twinehart won the race. Michael Webster was third. In the girls 50 free, Matilda Granger was second, and Brooke Shimasaki was third. In the boys 50 free, Diego Manwaring was third. In the girls diving competition, Sophia Stewart won it with a score of 221.70. In the girls 100 butterfly, Sydney McCammon was second, and Elisa Aztiz was third. In the boys 100 butterfly, Josh Warner was the race winner. In the girls 100 free, Anna Stevens won that race. In the boys 100 free, Kaylin Swinehart was second, and Ethan Farrar came in third. In the girls 500 free, Matilda Granger was second, and Gibson Claxton was third. In the boys race, Griffin Brown was second. In the 200 free relay, Warsaw's team of Brooke Shimasaki, Matilda Granger, Sydney McCammon, and Anna Stevens came in second. For the boys, a second-place finish for Ethan Farrar, Kaylin Swinehart, Michael Webster, and Jonah Potter. In the girls 100 backstroke, Brooke Shimasaki was second, and Elisa Aztiz came in third. In the boys 100 back, it was Josh Warner finishing third. In the 100 breast for the girls, Anna Stevens was first, and Haley Strange was third. In the 100 breast for the boys, it was Michael Webster finishing first, and Brady James coming in second. In the girls 400 free relay, Elisa Aztiz, Lucy Ray, Caitlin Brown, and Gibson Claxton came in second. In the boys 400 free, the team of Kaylin Swinehart, Josh Warner, Diego Manwaring, and Griffin Brown won the race. Final scores for last Saturday, the Warsaw girls were victorious over Wawasee, 99-81. The Wawasee boys beat Warsaw 90-86. Then on the 5th, which was Thursday, the swim teams took on Northwood. In the 200 medley relay, Anna Stevens, Sydney McCammon, Brooke Shimasaki, and Veronica Smith finished in second. For the boys, the team of Diego Manwaring, Josh Warner, Kaylin Swinehart, and Griffin Brown came in first. In the 200 free, Matilda Granger won that race, and Maddie Nunez was third. For the boys in the 200, Kaylin Swinehart was first. Cole Parrott came in second, and Philip Boston was third. In the girls 200 IM, Brooke Shimasaki came in first. In the boys 200 IM, Josh Warner was first. Matthias Nabia was second, and Grayson Waldo came in third. In the girls 50 free, Veronica Smith was second, and Alicia Aztiz was third. In the boys 50 free, Warsaw swept the top three spots. Griffin Brown winning, Ethan Farrar was second, and Jonah Potter came in third. In the diving competition, Sophia Stewart won with a score of 202.10. For the boys, Ian Parrott won that competition with a score of 292.95. In the girls' butterfly, Sydney McCammon was third. For the boys, Griffin Brown was first, and Ethan Farrar was third. In the girls' 100 free, Matilda Granger was second, and Brooke Shimasaki was third. In the boys 100 free, Warsaw took the top three spots with Diego Manwaring winning, Matthias Nabia second, and Titus Noyes came in third. In the girls 500 free, Gibson Claxton was first, and Claire Corson was third. Warsaw swept the top three for the boys, Josh Warner winning, Grayson Waldo second, and Logan Miller third. In the 200 relay, Anna Stevens, Sydney McCammon, Caitlin Brown, and Matilda Granger won that race.
For the boys, it was Matthijs de Bea, Ethan Farrar, Jonah Potter, and Kaelin Swihart finishing in first. And the girls' 100 backstroke, Anna Stevens won that race. For the boys, Diego Manwaring was second. Jonah Potter came in third. In the 100 breaststroke, Lucy Ray was third. In the boys' breaststroke, Kaelin Swihart won it with Philip Boston third. In the girls' 400 freestyle relay, the team of Brooke Shimasaki, Matilda Granger, Veronica Smith, and Anna Stevens won that race, while the boys' 400 freestyle relay team of Matthijs de Bea, Diego Manwaring, Josh Warner, and Griffin Brown also won. Final score there, the Warsaw girls beat Northwood 106-79. The Warsaw boys beat Northwood 136-44. That brings us to the current today. Warsaw hosting the Warsaw Super Duels in the T-Rack, and that competition is already underway. The girls' wrestling team is at East Noble this morning, and that competition also is underway. The boys' swimming and diving team also is hosting their invitational this morning, and that begins here in just a couple of minutes. And the boys' basketball teams are on the road tonight, freshman and JV at 6 down at Huntington, with a varsity game to follow the JV, and we'll have coverage starting at 5:55 on News Now Warsaw. The swimming and diving teams will be on the road at Northridge, taking on Mishawaka and Northridge on Tuesday at 5:30. The girls' basketball teams will host Carroll on Wednesday, JV and freshman at 6, and the varsity game to follow the JV will have coverage at 7:10 on News Now Warsaw, with the girls' wrestling team on the road at Penn on Wednesday at 6:30. On Thursday, the boys' freshman basketball team will host Plymouth at 6 o'clock in the Career Center Gym, with the boys' wrestling team hosting Plymouth in the Tiger Den at 6:45, and the girls' freshman basketball team hosting Tippecanoe Valley in the Career Center after the boys' freshman game. And no basketball game on Friday for the Tigers. Saturday, the girls will host Plymouth, and that will start at 6 o'clock at the Tiger Den with the JV game. The varsity game will follow that. The boys will be playing at the Champions of Character Classic on Saturday at 6 at Grace College against Fort Wayne Snyder. We'll come back and wrap things up here on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company on News Now Warsaw.
This is the lesson of Sleepy Boy.
Oh, here comes Chuck.
Man, he looks terrible.
I lost my head.
What happened?
I was tired and not thinking clearly when I took out my auto loan.
Man, you gotta be careful or you're gonna pay too much. There's interest rates you gotta
figure out. I know!
R&B Car Company.
RBCarCompany.com.
Hey, what's up, Chuck?
Hello, I'm Jay Rigdon with Rockhill Pinnock. We're proud to sponsor another year of Tiger basketball. Another year of boys and girls getting ready, working hard, and preparing for their upcoming games. Are you prepared for your future? At Rockhill Pinnock, we create wills, trusts, and other documents that will help you be ready for your future and your family's future, whatever that future brings. We have more legal experience than anyone in the area. And why would you trust your family's future with anything less? Call 267-6116 for an appointment. Rockhill Pinnock, lawyers you can count on.
Experience and knowledge lead to success. Metzger Property Services has been delivering successful auctions for decades. Metzger is making it easier than ever to bid online by simply going to bidmetzger.com. See dozens of current and upcoming farm, residential, personal property, farm equipment, gun, and antique auctions, both on-site and online only. Thousands of items are on sale and listed now, so why wait? Remember, it's now bidmetzger.com. That's bid, M-E-T-Z-G-E-R.com. Metzger Property Services, expanding your horizon generation after generation.
And now for final thoughts on Tiger Talk, driven by R&B Car Company. Here's Roger.
We thank the Krebs family for being in the studio today and representing. We appreciate them both very, very much. Love them both very, very much. Thanks to Coach Moore for joining us on the phone. He's working on some extended education in Fort Wayne this morning, so we did that before the show this morning by phone. Thanks to all the coaches for turning in their results, and thank you for spending your Saturday with us. We'll see you tonight at Huntington.
You've been listening to Tiger Talk on News Now Warsaw, 99.7 FM and 1480 AM. For more on Tiger sports, log on to newsnowwarsaw.com and warsaw-tigers.com. Follow Roger Grossman on Twitter at RogerGrossman1. Tiger Talk is a presentation of News Now Warsaw, a member of Kensington Digital Media of Indiana. News Now Warsaw, WRSW, 1480 AM and W259 BJ, 99.7 FM, Warsaw, Indiana.